to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for the week of May 5th, 2008. We always go for Monday, I think.
Is it really?
Yes.
Oh, you know what? Because my watch does that thing where it just keeps going and doesn't know what month it is. And apologies.
Fantastic start. Anyways, yes, it's me and Azguy, as usual.
Yo.
And I guess we got a very usual show here. But we're usually awesome, so.
That's right.
So, it's you know, it's great.
Okay.
Good stuff there. So, you know, normal show, we're going to start with news. We got a decent amount of news, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. A lot of E3 things going on. Then we're going to go on to the best ever. And since we have a lot of E3 things going on in the news, I thought I'd go best E3 moment ever.
Oh, okay. That's a good one.
Kind of cute. Then we're going to go on to what we've been playing this week, our week in gaming. A lot of GTA still. But we got Mario Kart, so we'll talk about Mario Kart, actually. Then we're going to go on to the weekly game releases. First, we'll talk about the downloadable games and the normal game releases. Then we're going to talk about 4-1, 4-1. I see that Derek Robbins has a top 10 Genesis games list we're going to talk about.
Yep.
Last week he did Super Nintendo, this time Genesis. We'll see if we like it as much as last ones. Then the mail barrel. Got one letter to talk about real quick, and that'll be the whole show.
Woot.
Woot. So why don't you get us going with news? Try not to bore me.
Okay, I think you'll like this one. Sega is reuniting the Xenogears team for a DS RPG. It's entitled World Destruction, new fantasy RPG for the DS.
You know what? When you bring that up, Xenogears or whatever, that's one I really need to play, because people love Xenogears.
Mm-hmm. Your friend Kevin has it, I think.
I think he does. I should get that from him this summer.
It's writer Masato Kato, character designer Kunihiki Tanaka, and composer Yusunori Mitsuda.
Okay.
The whole premise of the game is you actually want to destroy the world.
That's cool.
Because humanity is enslaved by monsters. It's kind of one of those better things, we're better off dead than living.
Right. I bet they don't really destroy it in the end, but that's all that will happen.
If you dig around online, you can find some screenshots and some CG video. It should be fun.
I'm kind of glad we're finally getting a really high-profile RPG for the DS.
Yeah, there really hasn't been much.
It's been kind of like, I think there was a Tales of game. I don't even know if it came out here. There was a remake, I think.
Yeah.
No, there's a Game Boy Advance.
Was there a Lunar game brought to the DS?
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Nothing big.
Yeah.
Like, so, we had Mario and Luigi, but.
This is exciting.
Final Fantasy III, we had remakes and stuff.
Yeah.
So that sounds cool. You know, those people didn't really have anything to do with Xenosaga, did they?
I'm not sure. That whole thing confuses me. Yeah, if anybody out there understands the whole Xenosaga thing, please tell us.
And by that, I don't mean the finer plot points of Xenosaga.
No, just the development history.
Yeah, because don't even go there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, this is kind of, everyone assumed this, but it's confirmed with Guitar Hero Aerosmith coming. Aerosmith is exclusive to the Guitar Hero franchise. So, aside from The Train Kept on Rolling, which is already in Rock Band, don't expect anything else coming in the foreseeable future.
I've never been a huge Aerosmith fan, so it doesn't bother me
so
much.
I like some of their stuff. I would have liked having, like, Love in an Elevator.
I just hope we don't start seeing, like, all these bands, like, now, like, I'm Rock Band, no, and I'm
It's
guitar
gonna
band.
Happen. Eh. It's unfortunate, but it's gonna happen.
I think a decent amount will stay neutral.
I hope so. I really do.
And I don't know if it's gonna happen, because, like, Aerosmith's doing it, obviously, because they're getting a huge wad of cash from doing
and
Guitar
their own
Hero
game
Aerosmith.
Out of it, yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Not this, you know.
Yeah.
They have a stake in it now.
But you would think, I mean, you just want the biggest potential audience you could have. Why limit yourself?
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Why I don't think most people will.
Yeah.
Like, Aerosmith's doing it because he has his own Guitar Hero game.
Yes.
I mean, why would he put songs on Rock Band? That would defeat the purpose.
Yeah. So Duke Nukem Forever actually does exist. Shaq News was visiting 3D Realms when George Broussard said, "What the hell?" and showed him a half hour of the game. He didn't let them play it, but he played it in front of them.
What did he say?
They couldn't really say much about it. They weren't allowed.
It'd be hilarious if this is like, this game's amazing.
Yeah.
And we're all like, game of the year.
It was worth the wait.
Wow. Wouldn't that be something, though?
Yeah.
Everyone's expecting crap, and we'll probably get it.
But. Yeah, that's very true. So after a little bit of a delay from the original announced date, the Team Fortress 2 update finally came out. I'll talk about that more later, because I played around with that.
I never did. They had that free weekend, and I never got to it.
It ends in 2 hours. An hour and 40 minutes.
I'll just buy it eventually.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if your friends were over, I was playing GTA, you know.
Understandable. So Crytek has become the latest developer to say no more PC exclusives. They're not abandoning the platform altogether, but
at their crisis, I bet they were.
They blame piracy. Apparently, Crysis.
Everyone does.
Well, Crysis was the most pirated game last year.
I believe that. I know people. I mean, I always yell at them. They're like, yeah, I played Crisis. I pirated it. And I'm like, that's great.
I just, you have to ask yourself, is every pirated copy a lost sale? Because I think a lot of people...
Well, maybe not all of them, but some of them. Well,
yeah, but I think in a case like that game, I think a lot of people probably pirated because they figured it wasn't going to run on their computer. They just wanted to like see what it was about.
Right.
Like, I doubt like many of those people actually played it to completion.
I need to turn this Indians game off.
Yeah, you're just staring at here. I'll hold that for you. The next news thing. Okay, so this comes from GameIndustry.biz. They did an interview with Doug Lombardi, the marketing VP of Valve. And apparently, they tried to get partners to do Steam and gave up and did it themselves. Here's his quote. "We went around to Yahoo, Microsoft, and anybody who seemed like a likely candidate to build something like Steam. We went around to everybody and asked, are you guys doing anything like this? And everybody was like, that's a million miles in the future. We can't help you." So they just kind of did it themselves, and the rest is history.
I guess so.
Silly.
Well, history. We'll see how far it goes.
Yes. Okay, so the next big thing, I'll let you take the floor in this, is the new Metal Gear Solid 4 trailer release talks about the apparent flashbacks in the game.
Yes. Oh, God, I love it. But I think, if you haven't seen it, go check it out on game trailers or game videos or something. But basically, it kind of starts like, first off, it shows Shadow Moses in the original PlayStation 1 Metal Gear game. Then it kind of showed it how it looked in the GameCube remake, Twin Snakes. Then showed it as a level in Smash Brothers. Then all of a sudden, you're kind of walking through it in Metal Gear Solid 4 style graphics, but you're not old Snake. You're like, it looks like you're kind of a younger Snake, but still looks like you have the Octocam on.
Yeah, that's what's confusing about
it. But in the Shadow Moses, it's abandoned. It looks kind of decrepit. And it's kind of, it's really weird. Then all of a sudden, like, the transition's cool. Snake kind of wakes up from, like, a dream. But, like, it starts off as, like, the low-res PlayStation 1 Snake face, and it suddenly morphs
into,
Metal Gear Solid 4, I had that dream again. So, obviously, now the question is, will there be maybe playable dream sequences or flashbacks in the game?
I think, more like, I don't think there's, like, I think some people are thinking it's going to be, like, literal one-for-one recreations of the gameplay from MGS1.
No, they're probably more of these kind of abstract...
Same locations.
Right.
Yeah.
But it'd be cool, like, going back, like, I don't know if they can really do it with Metal Gear Solid 3, but maybe they can because, genetically, there's all sorts
of... Yeah,
all
that
but,
craziness.
It'd be cool to go back to locations of Metal Gear Solid 3. Even, like, Metal Gear, like, go to Outer Heaven or go to Zanzibar Land.
Or how about just the whole tanker mission redone in MGS4 graphics?
This thing's... I mean, cool possibilities. And I really love that part where, like, the Metal Gear Solid 1 face, they kind of morphs to Metal Gear Solid 4. You don't see very many games kind of play off... Like,
they're like old graphics.
Yeah, don't play out the fact that the games used to look crappy.
Yeah.
Like, some people do if their game was on the Nintendo, it's like, oh, look at that, pixels, ha ha ha. But not so much like, yeah, things looked horrible when it was on PlayStation 1. I thought it was really cool, and, it's going to be interesting to see where it goes. I can't wait for that game. Just
indeed.
A bit more over a month.
It's like, just a month away.
Oh, please, God, I need it.
All right, so we have our ESA and E3 craziness going on. The whole hoopla first started when it was noted that Activision Blizzard, which is still technically separate as Activision and Vivendi right now, were not on the list of E3 attendees, and it's been confirmed. A quote that Gaming Nexus got from Activision: "After careful consideration for business reasons, Activision has decided not to participate in any official E3 activities. We wish the ESA best of luck with the show." After that, it was noted that a lot more people are missing from the list. Nothing really huge. People like NCSoft, Foundation 9, and Atlus would not be attending E3. They also have revoked their ESA memberships.
Yeah, so there's no hope of E3-ing it in the future.
Right, unless they rejoin, which seems unlikely.
And... it's weird because they're having their own press conference, though, on the same day.
Yeah.
So it kind of seems a little cheesy. They're still taking advantage of E3 in
a way. Yeah, really, they are. Because
they know this is, like, the day that people are looking towards the game industry.
And, like, I can understand Vivendi. They don't have a lot of big stuff. They're mostly kids' games. At Blizzard, they have BlizzCon. Activision, though, I felt they really benefited from E3 last year because that's where they kind of revealed Call of Duty 4 for the first time.
God,
they got huge hype from that. And the game came out like 4 months later and was ginormous.
They won Game of the Show from almost
everyone.
I
mean, I didn't even know they were making that game. And from what they showed at that show, it was like, oh my God. And then they did the multiplayer beta, the game came out, and the rest is history.
I remember, it was a big moment in that show when, like, you know, just start on the grass and like your one teammate rose up from the grass.
Yeah, with the ghillie suit on.
Yeah, you never saw him there. Yeah, that was when everyone. Yeah.
So it just seems like they're missing out.
It's just, I don't know. People. I miss the old E3.
Yeah, well, this year's going to be kind of between what it was last year and the old E3.
Yeah, we'll see if people
it's gonna
keep
going.
It's going to
be back
in
the LA Convention Center. Yeah, it's a good point.
If people, yeah, keep dropping support. I don't know. I just loved E3, and I was so sick when all the editors started complaining about it. Like, all, like, journalists. And it just seemed very selfish to me how they were all sort of upset about how inconvenient it was for them.
Well, it is technically for them.
No, I don't... Yeah, technically, but come on, it was so that they could it was so that they could reveal games to let consumers see it.
Yeah,
it was. I know it wasn't a consumer show and it was a trade show, but it was to get information out to us.
Yep.
I mean, why else would a journalist be there?
That's very true.
Was there other E3 news besides that?
Not much.
It should be. If it was the old style, it would have been this month.
Yeah, we would have been in Florida actually when it happened. Oh. We would have kind of missed it, so.
Yeah. E3, it used to be like my second Christmas.
Indeed. So, Okami woes continue here. Apparently, at the end of Okami on the Wii, the original staff credits for Clover Studios have been cut from the game. So, the kind of like, if you didn't know any better, I mean, if you actually read game credits, you wouldn't see the actual creators of the game getting credited. Hideki Kamiya was shocked and saddened by this decision. Capcom says that they had to cut the credits because the credits were a pre-rendered movie with the Clover Studio at the end, which they had no right to use, and they did not have the source file, so they couldn't do anything about it. You know, like a simple phone call could have really fixed this all up nicely. And in addition to being saddened that the, you know, original creators aren't being credited for their work, Kamiya also said that really it detracts from the ending of the game because the credits provided this important kind of denouement to the entire experience. Now, having not played the game, I don't really know what he's talking about, but I'm sure somebody out there does.
Maybe Okami for the Wii wasn't such a good idea.
Yeah. I didn't realize it was handled by Ready at Dawn, the port, who are the guys who did God of War Chains of Olympus.
Really?
That's weird.
Well, interesting little factoid there.
After hearing everybody talk about that, when I finally do play this game, which I do intend to do, I think I'd rather play it on the PS2.
Go ahead.
Everyone seems to say it controls better and looks a little better. Just don't have widescreen. Whatever.
Yeah.
So the goodness on Burnout Paradise continues as Criterion has announced a new feature coming to the PS3 version called the Save Game Analyzer. It'll allow you to take your save data from Burnout Paradise and put it on a USB drive or a memory stick. You log into the Criterion website and it reads that data and it'll show you everything you have yet to finish in a nice digestible form right on the website. Because, you know, the PS3 lets you just use, like, standard computer media. And the website will analyze your save file and say, you have this many events to do, here's where they are.
Okay.
It's more for the completionist out there who want to know exactly what they have yet to do. A lot of people seem to, like, look at the ESRB website to see what games might be coming to Virtual Console because they have to get re-rated.
Right.
One of those games is Earthbound.
Yeah, and people are like, oh, it's coming to Virtual Console. I mean, I remember Super Mario RPG got rated again by the ESRB.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, like before the Wii even came out. Oh. We haven't seen that show up yet. So,
that's sad.
I'm sure Earthbound will come.
And to round out the news, I have some GTA stuff. First is...
You have a lot of GTA stuff.
You'll see why.
Ugh.
We have... there's freezing issues with the game. It's happening on both consoles, but it seems to be most predominant on the PS3, and Rockstar is completely baffled. They don't know what's going on. But their tech support offers these convenient 12 steps
to
fix the process. I think it's fun.
Ugh.
Let us listen.
I hope they're not
I won't read like the details of the steps. I just copied the list. So first you have to delete the game's install data. Then you have to delete the game's save files. You have to disable your internet connectivity for the PS3. Disable the console's information board. Disable media server functionality, delete the system's internet cache, turn off the screensaver, restart your PS3 manually by holding down the power button for 5 seconds, and then try the game again. If you're prompted to reinstall. Once the game is started, turn off the following features: the game's autosave, turn off flicker filter, and turn off vibration.
they are patching this, right?
They haven't figured out exactly what's causing the problem. As soon as they do, they will, but they honestly don't know what's wrong.
Jeez. I mean, I don't know. I'm glad I don't have the PS3 version.
Yeah.
That's all. Because,
I mean,
say.
It seems to be, like I said, the 60 gigs are the ones most affected, and that's what you have.
Yeah. Ooh. Lucky me.
Thanks for buying our system early. Screw you.
Yeah. Oh, see, but that's incentive for me now. Every time a game goes multi-platform, I'm going to get for the 360.
Exactly.
All I have to worry about there is the Red Ring of Death, and you know.
Well, you have a newer system, so yeah, that should be a problem.
And I figure lightning can strike twice, exactly. Although it has.
And one last piece of news here: Mothers Against Drunk Driving, or MAD as they're called, are sad.
Haha. I thought they were furious.
Indeed. They are demanding that Grand Theft Auto 4 be re-rated AO because of the drunk driving sequences in the game. Now, I haven't gotten to those yet, have you?
No.
I heard there's a mission that kind of involves it eventually.
Interesting.
And as people are quick to point out, the I guess in this mission, which I haven't done, the dialogue actually encourages you to not drive and gives you, you know, the game lets you call a cab, which is the nice guy way of doing it. And some people feel it teaches you the dangers of drunk driving. But, again...
Well, I don't know if I buy that, but I just don't know if I buy...
Yeah, I also don't see... I don't think that merits an AO. I think people really don't understand that, like, M is the equivalent of an R-rated film, and AO is the equivalent of NC-17. And
yeah.
God knows we've seen people drinking in PG-13 movies.
Yeah. It's just... I don't know, of all the things that, like, push it over the edge to an AO, the drunk driving sequence?
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, God.
It wasn't like the lap dance I got from the stripper or anything like that. It was that. That's the news.
Yeah. I saw a couple of... There's been some funny late-night comedy sketches on GTA.
I saw Conan's.
Conan's was funny. It was like he was talking about how they had to tone down Grand Theft Auto, and it was just like... The guy kind of just walking around, like, casually talking. He's like, do I need a turn signal here?
Just right on red. Sorry.
Then, Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson.
Yep.
He did a funny thing. He had some SNL kind of alumni, and they were just sort of talking about the game. Can't really remember, but it was funny. Go check it out. I think it was on Kotaku or Joystick.
Yeah, I'm sure on YouTube and all that.
Yeah. Okay, is that the news?
That's the news.
All right, best ever.
Yay.
Best ever E3 moment. You want to start or should I go?
Ridge Racer.
Okay, well, I guess we can talk about the PS3 unveil press conference at 2006.
Yes,
where there was the Ridge Racer incident. There was Genji,
giant enemy crab,
which was hilarious.
It was just great because he went on and on about the game's historical accuracy to actual battles in feudal Japan, on and on, and then all of a sudden, there was like no transition. He goes. So here we have this giant enemy crab, and you have to flip it over to attack its weak point for massive damage.
I remember, I saw the whole thing live, all 2 hours of it. I mean, when you watch like that 5-minute version on YouTube, it's hilarious, but God, it was kind of boring. I remember one part, the Grand Theft Auto guy just came out, Grand Turismo, sorry.
Yeah.
He just played Grand Turismo HD, like that kind of thing that came out with it. He just like played it for like a while. He played like two whole tracks worth, and I'm like, God,
we get it. Yeah.
Ugh.
Then of course was PlayStation 3 will retail for $599.
Yeah, that was
everyone
it.
Everyone's like, what?
That was the price reveal, and everyone was shocked.
What the hell?
Yeah. So there was that. Then I think another favorite moment of mine, a Nintendo one, was I remember when they revealed what would be Twilight Princess for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of a shock because we thought that a new Zelda game was coming, but everybody thought it was going to look more like Wind Waker. So then they showed the beautiful video. Then in the end, Shigi was there with a Master Sword and the shield. That was kind of a cool moment. I remember I had to scream at you, come inside.
Yeah.
Look what has happened. Wind Waker and Sunshine, they didn't get revealed like that at E3 because it used to be Nintendo had their own things.
Yeah, they had those two had really cool trailers, though.
They did have first trailers. Although everyone was really mad at the Wind Waker one.
I liked it.
Me too.
I'm also a fan of the Sega press conference circa 1996.
What, the one where they said
oh, and by the way, the Saturn's out today. And everyone's like, what?
Didn't PlayStation follow it up by just... They just dropped the price.
Just being
right
amazing,
then.
Yeah.
They dropped the price like right then and there. I forget what to what, but like.
And they're like, oh, our system was actually built for 3D.
Yeah, there was something. Yeah.
Look, here, look at Ridge Racer.
Ridge Racer.
Remember that?
Why does Ridge Racer keep coming up? It's Ridge Racer, for crying out loud. When was the last time Ridge Racer? When was the last time Ridge Racer was relevant?
Ridge Racer 4.
When was that for?
It was the end of PlayStation 1. It was a pretty good game.
End of PlayStation.
I had a car that looked like the Batmobile.
It's interesting.
Let's see. What are some other?
Well, there's the whole kind of when. I mean, it was also 2006 when they revealed the Wii. I remember they showed a montage of games, and like in the middle of that montage was Mario Galaxy, and like, oh, there's the new Mario game.
Yeah,
it's kind of right there.
Hey, hello.
Oh, good to get to know that that's coming. Oh, I loved the Smash Brothers Brawl reveal. Remember they did that their whole separate thing, and they had that trailer, and then at the very end was like the Snake Codec call.
Oh yeah,
that was great.
That was good fun. I'm trying to think just more individual game announcements rather than, like, you know, the whole press conferences and everything.
Right. Well, didn't Halo 2 have a big thing when that first happened?
Yeah, they had, like, the theater showing thing with all the celebrities were there.
Metal Gear Solid 2 had a big, was a big deal. For that
oh, that trailer was awesome.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
That was so good.
There's also the E3 where Half-Life 2 was kind of first shown.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of tech demos and stuff.
Yeah.
And we were showing out the gravity gun and things like that. That was a big deal. That was huge. It was huge.
I was very excited by the Oblivion trailer that was revealed at...
Because
that was kind of our first look at like a next-gen open world big deal game.
Right. I remember Kingdom Hearts was kind of first shown at an E3 and everyone was like, what the hell
is
this?
Yeah, and you and I were like, that's awesome!
Yeah. Like, everyone was like, what the...
What is this?
I couldn't wrap my brain around it for a while.
I'm just... I mean, we didn't really know what was going on so much for E3s, really, in like the like mid to early 90s and all that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think a lot of people really were.
There was the big E3 where we saw like the GameCube and the Xbox and PS... Well, GameCube and Xbox for the first time, really.
Yeah.
Then there was the one recently we saw Wii and PS3 for the first time. The year before that, we really got to see the Xbox 360. Kind of, you know, there's always those big years. And then, like, the ones after that, you always get to see the games finally take shape. Gears of War had a big year not too long
ago. One thing I really liked when I saw the announcement that nothing's happened with it was when they announced Live Anywhere at E3. Was it 2 years ago? Yeah, it was the last one. Because, I mean, they had Bill Gates come out. Usually, if Bill Gates comes out, it's kind of a big deal.
But not so much.
Nothing happened. Because they were talking about how you could, like in Forza 2... You could, like, handle your car auctions on your Windows mobile phone and, like, edit your cars from your phone and, like, then go on your computer and, like, tweak its settings and then get on the game. I was like, well, oh, that's awesome.
I remember the one Nintendo press conference where their big shtick was connectivity
between
the GameCube and the Game Boy Advance.
They showed off Pac-Man Versus.
Which is fun.
Yeah,
I like Pac-Man
Versus. That's a good game.
That was their whole thing.
Yeah, that was a little painful.
Yeah, that. I mean, that obviously... Obviously, they would get it right later with what they're... I mean, they are directionless for a while as a company.
Yeah, well...
They had that. They had a lot of filler
projects.
Wires
really hurt that. Nobody likes a lot of Wires.
No, that's true. Remember, I still laugh when about Dennis Dyack and... Or was it Dyack?
Oh, that's a good one. It's his whole meltdown from the previews that happened with Too Human,
because
the game was not ready to be shown. And
he
admitted as much, but they made him show it. So I was like, well, what did you expect? Sorry, buddy.
He was mad.
Yeah, he was not happy.
Not a happy
camper.
He
was not a happy camper at all. All
right. What was your favorite E3 moment?
Ridge Racer.
You're going to pick that Sony
conference? I got it. That whole Sony conference was so hilarious. Yeah.
I just remember geeking out a lot for that Zelda announcement, Twilight Princess. They always show the one Zelda trailer when it's usually like the debut trailer, the one right after it, and they always play this song from Conan the Barbarian for some reason.
Yeah, yeah, like, that's a great song.
And it's
song
like it's
for
always
Zelda.
Like whenever we have a debut trailer for Zelda, we're using this Conan the Barbarian song. Like,
I wonder
whatever.
Who made that decision, because I love that. One last sort of E3 moment that I love was. At the last official E3, during right before the Nintendo press conference was about to start, my roommate and I at the time had to buy a new TV stand, and we wanted to make sure our cable box would fit in the one we were looking at. So I called you to measure your cable box, and you're like, "Do you know what time it is?" I was like, "Yes, I know. Just get a ruler and measure your damn cable box." And Andrew was laughing because he thought I woke you up because it was like noon. And then I'm like, no, the Nintendo E3 press conference is about to start. He's like, that might be worse.
Oh, God. I would be so excited. Those things, they were great. I remember a couple of times they would always be a little disappointing. Like, I remember the year before they really showed Wii stuff. I was expecting them to show more Wii stuff.
Yeah, it wasn't really much.
That was also the year, though, where they had that really cool showing for Twilight Princess. Back before it was, they announced it was going to be for Wii.
Yeah.
Remember how they had, like, that really elaborate line?
Mm-hmm.
And just, they saw pictures of it. There was, like, that pawn that you
step
on.
Yeah, and everyone thought that was going to be the revolution, that we were going to have a projector on the floor. And I was like, what are you talking about? They had that at malls.
It's kind of hard to, it's hard remembering when Twilight Princess was a GameCube game.
Yeah,
it's like, hard to
I almost kind of want to play it on the GameCube, just for academic
I have a hard
reasons.
Time remembering that it did, in fact, come out for the GameCube at all.
Yeah, we should, like, rent that just to try it.
That's okay.
I kind of want to.
All right, so our week in gaming. Well, let's talk about Mario Kart first.
Yeah, so...
Because, I mean, you know what, I'm sick of people being down on Mario Kart Wii.
Yeah, so we kind of picked it up on a whim, and you also got a second Wii wheel.
Yeah.
Because we thought that'd be fun.
We'll talk about the controls a little bit later.
Yeah, but... I mean, for all everybody's bitching and complaining, you and I, Chris, booted up the game, sat down, and we had a blast.
I mean, it's Mario Kart.
Yeah, what did you really think you were getting?
I mean, nothing changed.
Well, I mean, you could argue that, yes, we lost the double dash, the two people on the cart, the character-specific items. I'll agree.
Okay, I'll say that, but Mario Kart DS didn't have any of that. Exactly. And people love that.
Yeah.
And I love that.
And
this game is a lot like Mario Kart DS.
What's going to make or break this game is its track design. And these tracks are awesome.
Oh, yeah. All the new tracks, they're great.
They're fantastic.
Just about all of them, like, rank up there as some of the best tracks ever.
Yeah. So I really don't know what people's beef is. And then yesterday, you and I, you can take two people online and play split screen. So I go, okay, let's just go play online. It was great.
It was a really good online experience for the Wii.
Yeah, when you boot it up, it shows everybody's me and what country they're in. We were the only American players playing. It lets you actually see everybody's name and me. And there was a little bit of a hiccup in the very beginning.
I don't even remember it.
Yeah, that's what you said. But I just remember it was going a little slow because I remember shouting, I am the one. But after that, it was perfect. It lets you, after every race, you vote on which track you want.
We're not even playing with anyone from America. We're playing with 12 people.
Yeah, it was great.
It was ridiculously good. I mean, the frame rate, like, just kind of dropped down, obviously, but it wasn't, like, going slow.
Yeah.
I mean, God, it worked really well. Mm-hmm. Really good online. And it's cool because they start off 5,000 points. Depending on your placement, you gain and lose points. You can kind of see who's good.
We wondered what happens when you lose all your points.
Yeah, that's what I said. I joked they don't let you play anymore.
Yeah.
Game over.
Just stick to the AI.
Yeah, like, all right, buddy. That's enough. I like the motorcycles.
Yeah, motorcycles are fun. And I couldn't figure out what the trade-off was. I didn't realize you can go from blue to red sparks in the carts, and motorcycles only get blue sparks.
But, yeah, but
you get your
you can
pop
wheelie,
a wheelie for a straight away.
But if you get hit when you're in a wheelie, you just get knocked, yeah.
Yeah.
If I had any complaints, it's that the retro tracks aren't the best choices.
Yeah, they there were some. I think I appreciate the effort, but really the GBA and SNES ones really just aren't that
good.
Yeah,
we don't need those anymore. I want more GameCube, DS, and... I mean, they have 64. A lot of 64 ones on there, honestly.
Yeah.
But, like, I want Baby Park and...
Like, Wario Stadium.
I want a Luigi's Mansion from DS.
Yeah.
That was cool.
That was a good one.
I missed that. But, I mean, you know, they're all right. But, again, the new tracks are really what's really cool. And battle mode's fun still. Although, it's kind of disappointing. You can't do, like,
four
people.
Just do four people free-for-all. It's teams now. But it's still, like, the Funky Stadium one.
Yeah.
That was cool. It was huge.
Oh, and I love the trick system.
Oh, yeah. I like the tricks a lot, too.
I like doing it.
Well, that's a good transition to controls. So, the you know, we you guys started off with the Wii wheels. I had the Wiimote Nunchuck. And we'll talk about the Wii wheel. Have you tried just without the wheel, just the controller?
No.
See? Yeah, I don't even see the point. Nah.
It's not as bad as you would think.
Yeah, it's not as bad as you'd think.
You're
it's
horrible
still,
at
I suck at
but
it.
But I was able to hold my own with
yeah,
it. So.
It's okay.
I mean, if I was to get, like, my mom to play, I'd definitely give her the Wii Wheel.
Yeah, because it makes sense.
You know, I mean, it was a smart business move for them, for sure, to have that Wii Wheel. Because people see it like, oh, it's like you're
it's
driving.
It's a wheel, and people understand that. The Wiimote Nunchuck is...
That's my favorite.
That's definitely the best one. The only thing I really don't get is...
No, disagree with you already. Go ahead, say it.
B is hop, and Z is fire weapon.
No, it's perfect the way it is. I will not switch it.
It just seems to me that all the controls are in your left hand, so why shouldn't the jumping be in your left hand? And all of the, like, actions are in your right hand, so why shouldn't the action be your item?
I don't know. It doesn't bother me at all, and I like it the way it is.
Yeah, well, you've played it more than I have in single player.
That's true.
Maybe you just get used to it. I just come over and play multiplayer with you guys. The GameCube controller, and I mean, it goes for the class controller. It just baffles me. I mean, it controls fine, except that they map the tricks button to the D-pad, which typically isn't a problem because most of the time when you go off a ramp, it's a straightaway. But there's sometimes like on the Mushroom Valley course
mm-hmm.
when it's really tricky, and I'm pushing buttons on it. The Y button does nothing, and both X and Z on the GameCube controller are look behind you. Couldn't one of those have been the trick button?
Yeah, that's...
it's like they purposefully gimp that because they don't want you using it for some reason.
I get that.
I really don't understand that at all. And why can't I remap it?
It's a pain. I like how in Smash Bros. You can remap anything.
Exactly. I don't. That's like a complaint I have with games in general.
Did you try the classic controller?
No, I mean I assume it's like the GameCube. Same as the GameCube controller.
I'm trying to think, is there anything else to say about Mario Kart? No, it's fun.
Yeah, it's great. What
do you miss the? How about the new drifting? I'm okay with it.
For a while, I actually was like just inadvertently snaking, and I'm like, oh wait, don't do that.
Yeah, I will say drifting with the Wii Wheel is kind of hard.
Yeah, that is a trick.
But you know, I'm having fun, especially some of those new courses. You drift everywhere. You're doing tricks off everything. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's great.
It's Mario Kart with a really good online mode, which I thought people would factor into their scores more, and they haven't.
No, yeah, online is probably the best on the Wii for sure.
Yeah, definitely. So GTA, we've still been playing that. I have access to like that big island now with Times Square and stuff, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah, I just got to my second safe house, or I guess you could call that Act Two almost.
Yeah, I know what you
mean. But the transition there, like I just did it last night. I thought that was so
good. We don't want to go into it too much.
Yeah, we'll try to avoid the spoilers, but man, like the acting in this game is really
good.
Yeah,
it really is good. I mean, yeah, it's been fantastic still. Not a whole lot.
Yeah, we talked about it a lot. Hopefully this week we'll get into the co-op online stuff a bit. That's true. Need to do that.
Let's see. Besides that, I beat Ninja Gaiden for the DS. About 6 hours, which is about, you know, it couldn't take much more than that, really.
Right.
It was fun.
Good.
Worked good. I'm ready to move on.
Yeah. So I mentioned the Team Fortress 2 update. I played that a little bit this week. It was as I predicted. I really questioned Valve's... The map itself, Gold Rush, new map, fantastic. Like, my favorite thing in Team Fortress 2
I forget, is it Capture the Flag?
No, it's the bomb on the minecart.
Why aren't there more Capture the Flags maps?
Oh.
There's one, right?
Yeah, 2-4.
2-4. It's probably the most played map still, isn't it?
No.
Oh, I doubt that.
No, it really isn't.
All right.
Well, okay, so I've explained this before, but you escort a minecart. There's 2 points. Like, there's a midway point that when you reach it, you get additional time as the attacking team, and then you have to get to the final point, you blow it up.
Mm-hmm.
When you're by the cart, it actually has, like, the medic's beam thing that heals you to encourage you to stay by it. And you can use it as, like, mobile cover and stuff, so it's really fun. I've only actually played in the attackers. Every time I play, I never get the defending team. But it's a really good game mode. It's different. It's fun. I really like it. Now, this update also had the new medic achievements and weapons. And as I expected, everybody's playing medic.
Yeah.
And the problem is, that's one thing, because it's good to have medics on the team. I like having medics. These achievements are not achievements you're going to just happen to get while you're playing the game correctly. You have to go out of your way to get these achievements, and by going out of your way, you screw up the game for everyone else.
You know, that does seem kind of questionable decision-making.
Like, there's one, it's like, have two medics, you and another medic, heal a heavy weapons guy while he kills 5 people with his fist.
Like, when would that normally happen?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's kind of... That
you
is,
and
that,
three
I don't
other
like
medics
that.
Uber the same guy. That's a waste of 2 Ubers.
And then he's fighting people with his fist instead of with a gun.
Yeah, or like... Uber a scout so it kills 4 people.
Why would you Uber a scout?
Exactly. Like, they just...
Yeah.
Some of them, are good. Like, you know, if your team has no medic, switch to medic and heal 5 people.
And also, why is it... I kind of question the decision that they're doing this now when they only have it ready for the medic. Why don't you wait till everyone's ready with their new weapons?
Or at least, like, 3 at a time?
Yeah.
Do it in thirds? Yeah, it's just...
It does seem weird. Seems
but, like, I haven't gotten it. I mean, I haven't really played medics, so I haven't gotten any of the new items yet. But people seem to like them. I talked to people online to say how you like the Kriegskrieg, the Blutslaughter. They like them.
What did you just say there? You just mumbled words.
It's Blutslaughter, or you speak German. It means vampire.
I don't speak. Say it again.
Blutslaughter. I don't know how to pronounce it.
I don't know. We never covered vampire in German.
But I mean, Gold Rush is still really good. The game itself is still good. Everyone should play it.
All right. Are you done?
Yeah.
All right. I want to get The World Ends With You today. Hopefully you said it's on sale at Circuit City.
Yep.
Probably do that after this. All right. So why don't you talk about the downloadable game releases?
Not a whole lot. The Wii saw Double Dragon.
Was that really it?
Yep.
Oh.
And you can get the same game on XBLA for the same price with enhanced graphics and online play, so...
Yeah.
Xbox or Live Arcade, nothing. I guess they didn't see the point releasing anything the week GTA came out.
Fair enough.
PlayStation Network, Echo Chrome for PS3 and PSP, which I will be picking up to play on the airplane, so...
Yeah, there you go.
Sounds good to me.
All right, then.
And well, I couldn't find a listing for GameTap, so I don't know.
Well, probably nothing too exciting. All right. So real games, we got Iron Man's coming out on the PC, came up, everything else, that's coming
in. Speaking of, everyone go see that movie.
Yeah, definitely.
It's awesome.
Make sure you stay for the after the credits. Make sure you stay after the credits. Yeah. So May 6th is that SNK Arcade Collection Classics Volume 1. Wasn't this last week?
Maybe.
PSP and PS2, May 5th. Boom Blocks, coming for the Wii, May 6th.
I didn't realize it was coming out so soon. Yeah. I really want to try this.
And here it comes. Great War Nations, the Spartans, PC.
We talked about this before.
Yeah, what the heck? May 5th. R-Type Command for the PSP. Another R-Type game.
But it's like a tactical, like it's a turn-based tactical game with R-Type.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Speed Racer for the Wii and DS, May 6th. Neverwinter Nights 2 Gold for the PC.
Oh, I might actually May pick 6th. This up because they said the expansion for Neverwinter Nights 2 is one of the best like PC RPGs ever made.
Interesting. Baseball Mogul 2008 PC. May 5th. What, 2009? Yeah, that would make more sense. The Dog Island for Wii. May 6th. I guess there's a whole island of dogs now.
Cool.
Toy Shop for the DS. May 5th. I thought that was last week also.
Maybe.
Brain Voyage for the DS. May 5th. Guess what that's a ripoff of.
Yeah.
Crosswords DS for the DS.
Now, this is actually made by Nintendo.
Really? Crosswords puzzle, if I take it?
Yeah.
Okay, then. Is that
word
part,
searches and anagrams.
Is that part of their like Wii Touch Touch Generations thing?
I imagine.
Okay.
Yeah, I see the little logo.
Why don't you go into 411?
Okay.
And first, let's talk about Derek Robbins' Genesis list, top 10 Genesis games.
No complaint. Oh, look, you got quoted.
Because I was happy to see. You haven't seen this list yet, have you?
No.
General Cast is number 10 list. You know what this is?
I don't.
A lot of people seem... I don't know. People are either, I don't know what this is, or yeah, it's amazing. Good job putting it there. So, I got nothing to say. I don't know what that is. 9, Sonic the Hedgehog. First one, yes.
Yep.
I'm a big fan of that. But then, 8, Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine, which is basically Poil Pop, which is fine.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like it more than, like, you know, Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun that it used the cartoon show's aesthetic.
What does it say that the Super Nintendo list didn't have Kirby's Avalanche?
And we did have the better version after all.
No, that, you know, the Super Nintendo had more good games.
Yeah.
Lost Vikings, number 7. I never got into it.
I played it back in the day.
Ghosts
and Ghouls. Ghouls and Ghosts.
I never played this one, but I like Super Ghosts and Goblins. Number 5 is Comic Zone.
This was a cool game. It was very kind of postmodern.
It's really hard, though.
It was hard.
I'm kind of confused because Derek says he likes Ghouls and Ghosts more than Super Ghosts and Goblins because it's not as hard. But Comic Zone is a hard game.
That was a hard game. It was really cool.
It was cool. 4 is Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
Which there's a fan-made HD remake of it coming.
Hopefully.
That'd be
it's
cool.
Coming, but yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Number 3, Rocket Knight Adventures. So good.
Great game.
And Sparkster, the sequel. Both excellent games. Well, he didn't put on Ben's thing. Number 2 is Gunstar Heroes Treasure.
Yeah, we were like kind of late to the party on that one. We never really played it back in the day. We played it kind of recently.
I play a little bit on the virtual, but not a whole lot.
It's good.
It's fun.
It's Contra.
Number 1 is Sonic 3 and Sonic Knuckles. Which, yeah, that would be
together, which... Yeah, totally is the quintessential Sonic experience.
When I look at this list, I feel like there should be more good Genesis games, but I can't really think of a lot of them.
Jurassic Park.
There's a lot of games like that.
Aladdin.
Okay, maybe not Jurassic Park. Aladdin I'll give you. Not Jurassic Park.
I thought Jurassic Park
okay.
and Genesis was fun.
Maybe Vector Man is missing. I don't know.
Vector Man is okay.
It was okay. I mean,
I'm trying to remember Genesis games.
Maybe some Fantasy Star fans would object.
Dynamite Heady.
I did like Dynamite Heady.
That was a good game. So was Rystar.
Yeah, there's... Yeah. Genesis was a bit of a weird system sometimes when you think about it. What about... I'm trying to think of other, like, Sega games. They really didn't have much, but...
I always forget he has an honorable mentions. Herzog's Way. I've never played that. Phantasy Star series. Vector Man 1 and 2. Golden Axe 1 and 2.
What about Echo? Echo's missing.
Oh, yeah. Echo the Dolphin. Good game.
Echo the Dolphin's missing, I have to say. But there's probably some other things. But, you know, I give them a lot of props just for putting Rocket Knight Adventures on there. Makes me happy. And he plugged our podcast again, so thanks for that.
Yep.
So what else we got?
So let's see. Jordan Williams has a cool article called, well, it's his working title column. He has Working Mythbusters. He talks about things like holding up on the D-pad and B-button to ensure higher capture rates in Pokemon Red and Blue.
Is that true? Because I always held on the B-button, no matter what I did.
Yeah, I never did up and B. I thought it was just B. Well, let's see. What does he say here? Decided to kick it up by a bit by only lowering the health to about halfway before trying to capture on a Weedle. Results are a bit surprising. It didn't catch the Pokemon either try, but there was some notable difference between the two. While the Pokemon constantly break out of the ball either way, it seemed to do it almost instantly when I threw the ball without the buttons. However, when I held the buttons, I at least got a couple shakes out of it.
I don't, even to this day, if I'm playing like Pokemon Diamond or Pearl, I hold down that
B-button.
Yeah,
I do too. It's just habit. He talks about the weightless paintbrushes in Oblivion, which I've seen people actually have stacked weight paintbrushes until they got all the way up to the top of that huge tower. You can imagine how long that would take. Is it possible to unpetrify Porom and Palom in Final Fantasy IV?
No.
Apparently not.
No, it's not.
I always thought there would be, because they were always still there. I never played all the way through it.
Well, I mean, I could tell you something, but I guess it'd be a spoiler.
Yeah. So yeah, there's more there, so go check that out. I thought that was a neat article. Let's see. We got a... Talk about that. The Hall of Shame by Vincent... Kikuchi. Tell us again. We forget.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Sorry, great man. Time. But in his Hall of Shame, he talks about Bubsy.
Oh, well. I don't know. Bubsy 3D is definitely a what?
With Sonic being... Listen to his headline. With Sonic being such a success, Accolade decides to create their own character with attitude. What could possibly go wrong? That's wonderful.
I like it because that's Bubsy's catchphrase.
Yeah.
Very cute. Good work, Vincent. And yeah. You got the normal stuff, like Beyond the Report, Mark Somala, and Theo Frazier's.
Nintendo Files, Joe Roche's, the Full Circle.
And all that good stuff. All right, why don't we get to my one letter from David Redke. And Sibyl, he just asked me if I ever bought, can you say the name of this game?
He says, did you ever pick up Shin Megami Tensei Nocturne for the PS2, or do you already own it? He bought it from GameStop. Since it didn't come with the soundtrack CD, GameStop sold it as used.
Well, no. I was never even aware. I was barely aware of
this
whole series.
I remember Penny Arcade talking about it. I might be completely wrong, but I recall it having some homoerotic themes to it. And no, wait, I'm mixing up with it. It was Shadow Hearts, maybe. Okay. This one had like, it kind of had looked like Tron, as I recall. A little flat shaded.
Right. I don't know much, but honestly, I have not played it. I'm still kind of working through Persona 3. I need to finish that this summer. That's the only game from that series I ever owned. Well, thanks for the question, David.
Yes.
All right. I think we're good.
Yeah, so, just a heads up, everybody. We are leaving this Friday for the happiest place on Earth, Disney World.
Oh, yeah, right.
We might try to throw together a quick recording on Thursday to put up in lieu of a show Sunday. It'll be kind of a full show. I mean, we won't have as much to talk about, but we'll do what we can, and we'll catch back up when we return.
Yeah, I think we come home either on a Saturday or Sunday.
We come home on a Sunday, so.
So we might be able to catch up, but we'll be kind of out of the gaming loop, so we'll have to, it'll be weird.
Yeah, it's always very
jarring when I go on vacation, because when I miss out like on a week of this stuff, I'm like, what's even going on anymore?
Yeah, but I'm promising myself I'm not going to like read Google Reader every night on my phone. I want to kind of unplug for a bit, so.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. We follow this industry so much my entire life. It's kind of nice just like, be like,
not worry about it. I'm gonna turn off all my Twitter notices and everything.
Oh no, is Sony gonna drop the price of the PlayStation 3 in response of who cares? God. So we're gonna get ready. I'm taking it easy this week. It's gonna be nice. I want school. Yeah,
I got some papers to finish, but
yeah, I'm just about done. So thank God. I rented a lot of bad action movies. It's gonna be glorious.
Mm-hmm.
Transporter, Total Recall. It's gonna be good stuff.
Excellent.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's see what the Indians are doing.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. You can contact me at dokoto@gmail.com.
Edgeguy711@gmail.com.
Check us out at splittingbarrel.wordpress.com.
And we out.
Thank you.